Well, good to see everyone present today. We're glad that we have visitors, and we appreciate those who are watching live stream, and so good to see all of you today. It's a beautiful day, and certainly this is a day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. And it's good for us that we can come together to worship and to honor God. When we study the Bible, there's lots of things that we can talk about. And one of the things that I really feel like is encouraging to us is that Paul talks about things that were written under the old law in old times. He says in Romans 15 and verse 4, were written for our learning. And I think it's important that when we go back and we look at Old Testament things, that we see how God dealt with people in those days and understand how He deals with us today. So this morning I want to talk to us a little bit about an Old Testament character that to me is such an encouraging story. And that is of Joshua. And he's called in Joshua 24, the servant of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, you might be turning with me to the book of Joshua. And we're going to take a look at some things there that I think will be helpful to us. I do want to express my sincere appreciation for several fellows that have worked extra hard in the last few weeks. Darren and Damon Ferris did some lessons. Kevin, we appreciate all of them and the work that they've done to go the extra mile and preaching and teaching while I've been gone in gospel meetings and so forth. And Brad signed up, I think, to speak one Sunday morning, but wound up in the hospital for a few days. But I think he's doing much better, and he's preaching at West Rogersville today. But I do appreciate all these men and many others that go the extra mile as well. And I thank each of you for doing that. So when we think about Joshua, the servant of the Lord, it's interesting that what we see, that we notice his faithfulness right at the get-go. Back in Numbers chapter 14, and I'm going to be listing several passages. I won't go to all of those and read them. We'd be here for a couple of minutes. But I'll just say that this particular text is the historical setting of the 12 spies that are sent out to spy out the land. And of the 12, 10 of those came back with a bad report and discouraged the people and raised the wrath of God. But it was only Joshua and Caleb that gave a good report. We also find that later, after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when it was time to conquer the land, and Moses dies. You remember that Moses sinned against God and was not permitted to go into the land of Canaan. So he died, and God buried him in a place that we don't know where. But it was Joshua who was chosen to succeed Moses and to lead the people of God. We also find that Joshua is leading the people of God into the promised land because of a twofold promise that was given to Abraham. And there was a physical promise, both of a land promise in Genesis chapter 12. And that's the passage of scripture that God speaks to Abraham and lays it out before him how he is going to bless Abraham and his descendants. And there was a land promise. There was a great nation promise. But there was also a second type of promise, and that was a spiritual promise. And in Genesis 12 and verse 3, the text talks about the fact that through Abraham, all families of the earth would be blessed. And we learn in the New Testament that that promise was fulfilled through Christ. that all spiritual families would be blessed. Well, when we look at Joshua, we find that he lived to see all of God's physical promises fulfilled. Joshua himself records for us in Joshua chapter 21. And I'd like to read a portion of this passage to simply illustrate to you something that I think is very encouraging to us today. In Joshua 21 and verse 43, the text says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it, and they lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to the fathers. And no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had promised made to the house of Israel failed, but all came to pass." Now the significance of that, first of all, is, number one, and we'll revisit this in a moment, but one, God made a promise to Abraham. Two, God fulfilled the promise to Abraham. So we can trust in God. We can trust in His promises. Because we have an example here, and there are many examples in the Bible. But this is an example of God making a promise, and He fulfilled the land promise. Now what's really, really important for us today is that our day and time, there are many, 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 many churches in the denominational world that do not believe that God fulfilled His promise to the children of Israel. We've talked about this, kind of hit and miss and just kind of surfacey. And that's basically what I'm going to cover today until we take some time to go more depth to it at another time. But suffice it to say that most churches today, in denominationalism, they talk about the idea of God, Jesus Christ, coming back and reigning 1,000 years on the earth. That is a doctrine that is usually referred to as premillennialism. And most of you who have been members of the church for a while have heard that term before. But basically, there are several components of that particular doctrine that promotes people to believe that Jesus will come back and physically reign. One reason is because Israel didn't get the promise of the land and the great nation that God promised them, but they will during the time of the millennium. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. That's not true. God did fulfill His promise. Joshua says that they did, or that God did. But I want you to notice that there are three other passages, and again, I'm just mentioning this to us, and hopefully sometime in the future, near future, we'll talk about it in more depth. So we're looking at a date of Joshua about 1400 BC. So in 1400 BC, Joshua, who is the servant of the Lord, likened to Moses, says God fulfilled the promise. Well, then, a few hundred years later, we have King Solomon in about 971 BC, who is king over all of Israel. And in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 21, the text teaches us that Solomon reigned over the land that God promised to Abraham. He ruled as king over that land. And what is even more interesting, we have in about 625 BC, we have Jeremiah discussing and talking about that Israel did occupy the land and was given the land and was a great nation, but because of their unfaithfulness, it was taken from them. And then we have in 450 BC, Nehemiah speaks of the land promise being fulfilled, but again being taken away. So here's something that's very important. What many people today miss is that the retention of the land of Israel that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, that Joshua and others say was fulfilled, the retention of that physical land promise was conditional. It was conditional upon their being obedient to God. Now, I've listed a bunch of passages up there. I hope you'll take the time, maybe some time, to go back and read in the book of Deuteronomy 6 and chapter 8 and chapter 28 and chapter 30. There is made very clear that God said, I will fulfill my promise, I'll give you this land, and you'll be able to retain it and keep it, and your enemies won't even come up against you if you'll be faithful. But if you become unfaithful, I'll allow the enemies to come and they'll take away your land. Well, that's exactly what happened. The children of Israel became unfaithful. And if you've ever read the Old Testament, about two-thirds of the Old Testament is about the promise, Israel receiving it, becoming a great nation, becoming unfaithful, and their enemies taken away from them. That's what the Bible is about. In Old Testament times, God gave them a second chance. He said, if you'll remain faithful to me and come back to me, I'll give you back the land. You may recall that that's recorded for us in the prophets concerning the restoration. Ezra and Nehemiah, they came back to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple, but they didn't remain faithful. When they didn't remain faithful, God said, I'm going to take away your nation once and for all. And that happened in 70 AD. The destruction of Jerusalem. The children of Israel do not have the land promise anymore. The only thing that they can trust in and hope for is the same thing that we hope and trust in, and that is the spiritual promise. All nations will be blessed through Jesus Christ. Now, I said all that to say this. Joshua is at the heart of this great promise and its fulfillment of the land promise that God made to Abraham. Let me say it one more time. The God talked about in the Bible made a promise that only a God could fulfill. And Joshua confirms that it was fulfilled. But the retention was conditional. And the Jews broke the condition. Well, now that's the sad news. During the process, the first chapter of the book of Joshua and what Joshua accomplished is just amazing. The fact that Joshua led this group of people to fulfill the physical promises of God by the great power of God should be great encouragement to us today. So I want to read Joshua chapter 1, and I want to read verses 1 through 9. Then I want to make just a couple of points about that that I think will be helpful to us. Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I have given to them, I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, if you are the least bit familiar with the New Testament, all of those verses sounded very familiar about what God expects us to be as Christians. What is interesting when you read the Old Testament, now there's been some law change. There have been some things that God did require, He doesn't require now. Things that He didn't require before, He requires now. But we're serving the same God today that Joshua served. And what He has basically demanded of His people throughout all generations, it's very, very, very similar. So in Joshua 1, verses 1 through 2, we see the necessity of Joshua obeying God. May I say to each and every one of us here today, we take sometimes a lot of things for granted. We sometimes become very comfortable. Sometimes we think we've arrived. But please understand that God stressed to one of the most faithful men, one of the most faithful servants that He ever had, time and time and time again, keep my commandments. We need to be reminded too. Whoever you are, however faithful you are, you are never, ever at a spot in your life that you should refuse to be reminded keeping the commandments. Second, you need to be strong and courageous. Joshua indeed had a great job. He had a tremendous job of pressure. Remember, he has been the servant of Moses for many, 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 many years. Moses was an awesomely strong and courageous man. But he, even Moses, at times became weak, did things he shouldn't have done. It kept him from going into the promised land. But yet a very strong man. He had to deal with a very obstinate, stubborn, and rebellious people. Joshua saw that. God knew he saw that. Isn't it interesting here? At least three times God says to him, Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Now, why in the world do you think God said that to him three times? Let me take a wild stab at it here and say, because he needed it. God knew that Joshua would get discouraged and want to give up and want to quit because people can be hard-headed and rebellious and stubborn. Did you know that people haven't changed? People today, we are still hard-headed and stubborn and rebellious. We need to be reminded of how important it is to keep the commands of God and to be strong and courageous. Did you know being a Christian is not easy? If you've ever thought, if you are thinking that being a Christian is just a piece of cake, it doesn't take much, you ain't understanding what you're supposed to be doing. I can't imagine the job that Joshua had. But being a Christian is per exactly just like it. We need to have strength and courage several times in Scriptures. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, be strong in the Lord. Be courageous. Be valiant. Be determined to serve the Lord. Paul told Timothy, he says, we are not to be of a spirit of timidity, but we are to be strong and courageous in serving the Lord. You cannot serve the Lord with just some of your attention. You must get serious. We all must be serious. I can just imagine Joshua standing before those hundreds of thousands of people, and he's responsible to get them across the Jordan and defeat all the enemies. That must have seemed like just an unbelievable task. To get your family to serve the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, to be able to cross the Jordan into the promised land is equally a daunting task. And you better buckle your seatbelt and get ready and take it serious. And you can't just do it part-time. Some of the time, it's a full-time job. Did you notice in the great text, he needed to trust in God's promises? Joshua, in the very get-go, with Caleb, as a young man, he had to remind all the other people, including the 10 unfaithful spies, God has promised us this land. He'll give it to us. Yeah, there's giants in the land. Yeah, there's lots of armies and fortified cities. But God has promised us that we'll be able to conquer and be able to do all of that. Joshua was convinced. All these years later, he is still convinced. But God encourages him anyway. Remember what I've told you, Joshua. I've promised you. It will happen. Brother and sister in Christ, what has God promised you? Be faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Do you trust in the promises of God? Joshua did. If you'll notice in the text, we'll notice that you need to have this great trust in God's power. Sometimes it just doesn't seem possible that we can do what we need to do, that we can overcome. Temptation is strong. The world is so alluring. We are losing Christians. We are losing disciples to the world in droves. Because people do not trust in God anymore. They don't trust in His power. They've lost their faith. They've lost their way. The question is, have you? We serve the same God that Joshua served. And that God is so powerful. There's all kinds of examples of that. Have you forgotten that? You need to trust God in His presence. Time and time again in this great text, it says, God says, I will be with you. Why does God need to be with me? I think it's for our strength and our courage to be able to make it through and to do the things that God wants us to do. He's with us. What a beautiful blessing that we have as the people of God, that God is with us. That He cares about us. He wants us to succeed. He wanted Joshua to succeed. He says, I'll be there. Back up just a little bit in history. How did God prove His presence to the children of Israel? Remember the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? That's just one example. God demonstrated, I'm with you. When the Egyptians came, remember what the pillar of fire did? Remember how God demonstrated time and time again, I'm with you. Trust me, I'm here. Brother and sister in Christ, what was written aforetime was written for our learning. What have you learned from that? God is in our presence today. Therefore, you should not be afraid. You should be strong and courageous to do what God says. You should have a confidence in who you are and what God wants you to do. The devil wants you to doubt. He wants you to fear. He wants you to be afraid. Time and time again, God said to Joshua, do not fear. Be strong. Be courageous. Even Joshua needed to follow God's word faithfully. Did you notice in the text that it said, day and night, do not neglect reading my word, knowing my word, obeying my word. Is that still important today? I know people that read the Bible one time and they know all there is to know about it. They come to church, don't even have a Bible. Come to Bible class, don't even have a Bible. Why not? Well, I read it one time. You're a fool. You're an absolute fool. When God commanded Joshua to make sure this book did not leave his face, what do you think that means to me? David, a great man of faith, he says, in his law, he meditates day and night. You know what has happened to us, brethren? We read this one time. We heard a sermon last year. We're good. And the devil's got you right where he wants you. We forget. We become lax. Oh, we don't see it. We don't see it. As parents, we don't see it when we are not as faithful as we should be. And we see our children slipping away. But we don't see that until it's too late. Parents in their later years, they come and they say, you know, I made some big mistakes with my kids when they were at home. I didn't stress the Word of God. I didn't take them to church. I didn't take them to Bible classes. I thought they were just fine. And now they're not faithful to the Lord. Because each and every generation takes it a step further. You see how the devil works? He spreads his lies. He spreads his deception. If Joshua needed to look at the Word of God day and night, what do we need to do? Brother, may I encourage you, don't ever miss an opportunity to study God's Word and to be with God's people. Don't ever miss that. You're fooling yourself. That's why Joshua could say later in Joshua 24, he says, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. And today we're still making this choice. And that choice is your freedom to decide. And you will make a choice. You will decide whether or not you're going to do like Joshua. You will also choose for yourself. It's an individual choice. If I would make this one brief comment again about the power of parental guidance. You want your child to be able to choose. But allow them to have enough information to make the choice. Make sure your children are reading the Bible. Make sure your children are attending Bible classes. Make sure that your children are with godly people. Give them a chance to make a godly choice. Because if you don't, one day you will regret it. This world is strong. Your children's friends are powerful. What they say, what they do, greatly influences your children. Make sure God has the same opportunity to greatly influence them. The choice is urgent. When my kids were little, I thought if I could just get my son to learn how to tie his shoes, I'll have it made. Then I thought, you know, if I could just get my son to be able to eat at the table without spilling his milk or getting food all over everywhere and getting it all over himself, if I could just do that, I would have been successful. You know, those two events come and went in a blink of an eye. And I was thinking about things that were not really important. What I'd give to have an opportunity to have my son sit at my table and try to influence him for good because he's lost his way. It happens, parents. Even when you do your best. And for most of you that are only putting half of a try, may God have mercy on you. You need to choose today to serve the Lord. God never did say, wait till tomorrow. God never did say, wait for a little bit. God never did say, put it off. God always says, today you serve me. And every time you wait, you're giving the devil a stronghold in your heart. Oh, that we were not deceived, but we are. You need to make a commitment. Making a commitment to school, work, ball teams. Oh, those are important. But this commitment is essential. It trumps all other commitments. Don't ever forget that. Your commitment to God trumps all other commitments. Joshua understood that. And he was successful all of his life. So who have you decided to serve today? So today, my mission, my goal, was to put before you a tremendous Bible character of great faith that was successful, and God blessed him greatly. And did you know, to my knowledge, Joshua never performed any miracles. To my knowledge, Joshua was just a man, just like us. And yet God called him the servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? Like Joshua, I hope and pray that you are and that you will be. If you're not a Christian, there are some things that the Bible teaches us we need to do to be obedient. If you need to be baptized into Christ, all things are ready. There's clothes, there's water. You can have every sin washed away today. Won't you come as we stand and sing? As I travel through this